first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Welcome to the Frisco Report, guys. I got Joe with me. What's up, Joe?
Yo, what is up? What's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm still feeling some type of way about Sunday. You know, these Cowboys. Let me ask you, is this the Cowboys, or is this a fluke? Like, because, you know, Cowboys started 3-0, then we went 0-3, we lost to the Jets, for crying out loud, and then we just come out swinging against the Eagles. Like, is this fact or fiction, Dallas Cowboys?
I think it's both. I think we've seen this before, which is definitely fact. What are they going to do with it? You know, it could be fiction too, because are the Eagles even a good team? Do they fall in that bad team category where we've beaten bad teams? So, I don't know. I think we might find that out in the next couple of weeks as far as how good or bad are the Eagles and how good or bad are we. Like, I'll say this. Like, for me, I'm glad we beat the crap out of the Eagles. But for me, it's just like, why can't we do this the other couple of weeks? Why does it have to be like, you're up against the wall and then you do something? And I don't know, man. I just have to wait and see. They have to prove it to me. Like, they lost some of that trust with me the last previous three games.
No, I don't blame you. To me, I 100% agree with you. I don't know if it's fact or fiction, but I'm glad we got the win. I'm glad that we beat the Eagles, because the Eagle fan base, man, was just from when we first lost to the Saints, the Eagle fan base was just all over Facebook comments, Twitter. I mean, you name it, how, you know, Wentz was better than Dak and Eagles going to win. And, you know, Doug Peterson came out and said, you know, we're going to go in Dallas, we're going to win, and we're going to be first place in the NFC East. You know, so much went into this, so much talking on a professional team and on the fan side, that at one point in this game it was 14-0 with 6 minutes left to go in the first quarter, Joe. I mean, and I don't know if this team needs all that motivation every week. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look, what was it, a couple of years ago when the Irish fighter, UFC fighter, what was his name?
Oh, Conor McGregor.
Yeah, Conor McGregor. He, you know, he came in and we blew the Jaguars out, and we were supposed to lose that game, allegedly. You know, and I'm with you. There's facts. We know this team can play, but is it fiction because of the inconsistencies of this football team? And you know, Tyron Smith being there, Lyle Collins, Randall Cobb, Amari Cooper, all that played a factor in. But when you're playing an 0-4 team like the Jets were at that time, that's where you got to make a statement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just losing to that team the way that they lost is just totally unacceptable. You know, it's just not good football. Not good football in any phase of the game. And but then you turn around and you look like contenders. So it's like, what team are you? You know, and to me, at the end of the day, it still comes back to Garrett, okay? Because, you know, it's that's what it is. Like, is it him not able to get the troops rallied? Do they get, you know, complacent during the week or after a win? Or I don't know. It's the same thing that we've seen from Garrett's team. So for me, you know, you have to hope now, you know, 4-3 is still a good record, but how far can we go? You know, how many wins do we have in this remaining schedule?
Exactly. Cowboys are in a bye week now, they start prepping for the Giants on Wednesday practice. We're going to see, I mean, how consistent can this team be? Because, you know, I was pretty confident for the Jets, and they didn't meet expectations. So I'm not going to be overly confident about an NFC team like the Giants on Monday Night Football. So what kind of impressed you the most? Was it D-Law, the defense collectively, You know, I kind of found it ironic how Tony Romo calls out Jason Garrett against the Jets, and then next thing we know, we're seeing what we saw the first three games of the year, with rumors saying that, you know, Jason Garrett had footprints and some kind of fingerprints on the offense. So what kind of stood out to you, Joe?
Yeah, definitely. The thing that stood out to me was finally they got the quick start, and a lot of it was, you know, thanks to the defense. You know, two turnovers in a row, and we scored 14 off of those turnovers. So that was very uncharacteristic of the Cowboys. They've been really slow on both sides. This time, you know, they didn't wait till the fourth quarter to turn on the offense. Obviously, they had the short field with the two turnovers, but that's what if you want to be a playoff caliber type of team, you have to cash in on those turnovers on the other side of the 50. And they did that. And then they just, you know, the momentum is a real thing in the NFL. If you get that momentum, you can devastate a team early on and there's no recovery. For us, we were on the other side of that this time. So, you know, it's about consistency and execution and all that stuff, but it does come from the head coach in the top. So we gotta have more of it for sure.
So to me, what stood out is how well or how valuable Lyle Collins is to that offensive line, because we were talking about this just a year ago. Lyle Collins really ain't that good. 2 years ago, Lyle Collins needs to go back to left guard. Mm-hmm. And just him stepping in after the injuries and stuff like that and playing as well as he did against the Eagles. I mean, I tip my hat off to 71. I mean, he really means just as much as Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith means to this offensive line. Lyle Collins might actually make – we could have – 4 out of 5 offensive linemen in the Pro Bowl if Lyle Collins keeps playing the way he's playing. Like, and this defense, you know, they kind of shut out Le'Veon Bell against the Jets. You know, Howard on the Eagles' third drive was getting some yardage. You know, I'm like, oh, here we go. This typical Cowboys. We go up 14-0. Next thing you know, it's 7-14. And but I thought the defense really – played as a unit. They played like the defense that they were last year, flying around to the ball, causing turnovers. I think Lyle Collins really, really stepped it up to me.
Yeah, Lyle Collins, I mean, there you can make an argument that he's your best tackle on the team right now. I mean, we did get Tyron back, but he had some bad penalties, you know, holding and yep. offsides, all this other crap. So I think he's still really banged up, but you know, shout out to these guys playing hurt, man. There's no doubt that they played hurt, but they had to have this game, man. They could not lose this game in the division, 4 in a row. I mean, and there are, you know, and they talk about what was it? They had a little info thing there during the game, 41%. If you go 4-3, you have 41% chance to get to the playoffs. 3-4, it's down to 14%. So, Cowboys, keeping it alive, man. Keeping it alive. I love it.
Exactly. No, and they did. But, you know, Eagles had injuries too. But at the end of the day, I think the Cowboys on that particular day wanted it more, was the better team. But we'll find out more because the season after the Giants – I mean, the schedule is going to get tough. The Bills, the Patriots, et cetera. We'll talk about that week by week as we go along this thing. Right now, we're on a bye week. Let's talk about Brett Maher. Mm-hmm. Breaking the NFL record, 60-yard field goals. The only kicker to actually kick 3 of them. You know, what's your take on, should I say, Money Maher?
Yeah, Maher, he's just he's a week-to-week player, man. You either love him or hate him, or, you know, you can love him in the first half, hate him in the second half. He's still inconsistent to me. He can hit the long ones, but he can't hit, like, the 30s. It's a weird thing, man. But for this game, he was super clutch, you know, and we needed all those points. So he's definitely a weapon, you know, from distance. But he has missed some 50-yarders, too, so... It just depends, man. It's is he hot or cold?
Right. Yeah. I was I do a round table with some fellow YouTubers and stuff, and we were talking about Brett Maher, and I was the only one that stuck up for him because he's been in too many situations where he's kicking way too many field goals, way too many. I mean, he kicked a lot against the Saints. He kicked a lot against the Packers. He kicked a lot against the Jets. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm going to use basketball, for example, right? Curry for the Golden State Warriors. His three-point shot is like, 48% in the NBA? And, you know, he's a big-time player. Out of 100 balls, he only makes 48 of them. So, you know, Brett Maher, if he keeps doing all these kicks and stuff, you know, he's going to bound to miss one or two, you know, and that was kind of my argument on that roundtable. But, you know, and I'm glad Maher bought. I think he was, 3-for-3 against the Eagles?
Yeah, I think so.
But you know what was crazy? Going into the Eagles game with those three losses, Joe, Dak Prescott had 18 points. Three touchdowns. 3 touchdowns. Brett Maher, going into that game with Dak Prescott to the Eagles, had 17. So, you know, that was kind of my argument, too. But, you know, that was kind of scary. Like, but Dak, you know, obviously stepped up and played a hell of a game against those Eagles. But what do you expect to get out of this bye week? Do you see the Cowboys trading for, you know, a nose tackle? Lord knows we need one. You know, safety's kind of not an issue anymore. I mean, do you see the Cowboys playing any trading cards?
The one that stands out the most to me is that middle of the defense. And to make a trade, you know, you really want to get somebody that's going to make an impact on your team. You don't want to just make a trade just to make a trade. So for me, you know, try to get you a defensive tackle. Maybe somebody that even has position flex so you can replace Tyron Crawford. He'll be a cap casualty. They're not going to bring him back. Everybody wants to clamor for the big, sexy, you know, player like Jamal Adams and these kinds of guys, but the Cowboys aren't going to do it this year, you know. And like I said, you know, do you want to give up a premium pick this year not knowing what this team really is still? Like, are they, you know.
That's a good point.
This pick could still be a very premium pick, you know. Hopefully not. Hopefully, you know, like, this is it. The light comes on and they make a big-ass run. But even then, you know, even then, and I hate to be a little pessimistic here, but, you know, is Garrett finally going to get this team over the hump? You know, is he going to get us past the divisional round? And for me, that's my standard right now. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't want to hear none of the crap. Like, you got to get past the divisional round, championship. Like, the roster's ready. If this guy can't get the roster, this team in there, then they have to make a change.
No, and you made a heck of a point. You know, do you really know what this team is? I mean, and I don't want to be pulling a Pittsburgh Steeler where they get their first round pick for a safety when their quarterback's out the entire year.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean? We already gave up a sixth round pick for Robert Quinn this year, so there's already one draft pick gone. But, you know, if Cowboys choose not to sign him, they could probably get a third or a fourth round comp pick if they chose not to re-sign Robert Quinn, or if Robert Quinn signs a bigger deal somewhere else. But I say stick with what you got. You know, these guys, we brought in Christian Covington to fill those holes. Antoine Woods is back. We invested a second round draft pick in Tristan Hill. I mean, these guys got to step up because that middle needs to be, you know, really working it. And I think Antoine Woods back has helped, but anybody behind him, I'm still like, oh my goodness, what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah, it's still they're still playing with the short deck, you know. It's just they're just it's by committee. You don't have a dog there, and not that you have to have one at every position, but it seems that in the defensive tackle, the Cowboys haven't had that in decades. I mean, maybe Hatcher was the last one, and that was just a a one-year wonder. We had double-digit sacks, but, I mean, besides that, I mean, nothing.
That was at a 3-4 defense, too, yeah.
Yeah, they're not getting anything out of the position, man. They've gone cheap. For me, I would re-sign Robert Quinn during the bye week. I'd give him another 2 years because the Cowboys have shown that, you know, they have issues drafting defensive linemen, whether they take a risky pick like a Randy Gregory, or they take a DeMarcus Lawrence, who, yeah, let's be honest, it took him a few seasons to turn it on. And then
it sure did.
Yeah, Tristan Hill, he's a project. He's not ready to go. So as good as they draft on the offensive line, the defensive line, I think they're still trying to find themselves as far as the talent and the evaluation and that kind of thing. And you know, some of that I think is part of the philosophy too. We all want the big plugger defensive tackle. It makes a lot of sense. Why aren't we doing it? So, we'll
see. That's facts. That is pure cold facts right there. But yeah, no. Signing Robert Quinn. How old is Robert Quinn? Is he in the late 20s? About to be pushing 30?
I'm gonna say he's
28.
Yeah.
I say pull the trigger. Give him a 2-year deal. Make the first year of it guaranteed. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of bye weeks and extensions, does Dak, Amari Cooper, maybe Byron Jones, do you see anybody getting an extension that's already been on this team during this bye week?
I would say my number one candidate would probably be Amari Cooper, because he has shown that when he is not in there, the Cowboys struggle immensely. I mean, it's back to 2018, you know, like Dak and Zeke, they couldn't get it done. They still need a number one receiver. You still got to have that component in this team and this offense. So I think you get him taken care of.
Yeah. You know what? I agree 1,000% with you. And Dak, you know, I think we can get him once the season's done. I don't think he's going to leave the Cowboys. I think you can franchise tag him. Quarterbacks don't hold out in the National Football League just because of the leadership aspect of it. So, you know, I think I wouldn't mind Dak playing another franchise tag just to see, you know, is that fact or fiction? Because, I mean, he's what is he, 70% completions? He's like number 4 overall in passing yards in the NFL. But he's also in a contract year. That's the trend with Dallas Cowboy players, you know. Contract years, Dallas Cowboys equals massive amounts of success. What do you think about that?
It's a tricky situation because whenever the Cowboys have slapped the franchise tag on these players, they haven't taken it very well. So it would be kind of rolling the dice as far as like we're gonna tag you, and then Dak might pull a Cabo situation. Could pull the Marcus Lawrence thing where there's an injury that needs to get fixed before he can make the deal happen. So that one is tricky, man. Obviously, he's shown that he can get this thing done, you know, but it's almost like this team has to be perfect, man. And it shouldn't have to be that way. You're going to lose a receiver here. You're going to get a dinged up offensive lineman here and there. You know, you still got to keep winning. So,
Would that be the head coach making those adjustments? Should it be Dak on the field making those adjustments, or both?
Yeah, it's both, but mainly I think it falls on the head coach to get these guys in position. You know, to keep the ship going, man. Sometimes you lose one freaking guy and the whole team just like, oh, you know, we're not going to show up.
Remember the defense with Sean Lee? Remember that?
That's exactly. That's the best description. When Sean Lee was out, when he was a starter, full-time starter, and he was out, the defense would take a crap. And it's like, dude, come on. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And then that comes from the head coach. Like, get these guys in check. You can't exactly. You can't play like that. We'll never get over the hump if it's going to be like that. So that's a good point, Mike. For me, it's about what's the payday going to be? You know, I would rather get it out of the way because you You got Pat Mahomes coming up. He's going to break the bank big time. So, you know, they could
go with it. But I don't know, and I might get in trouble for this, but I don't see Dak Prescott on Mahomes' level, if that makes any sense. And the agent would be crazy to demand Mahomes money.
Yeah, no, he would, but, you know, these guys, they salivate whenever they see that Jared Goff contract come in. That was, you know, Dak Prescott.
Wentz.
Yeah, Wentz. And Prescott's better than Wentz. Let's say that that's it.
I would agree to that.
Wentz is looking more like somebody that you can replace here pretty soon. I'm not sold on him. I think he's just an average Kirk Cousins type of guy. Just somebody managing the bus, you know.
Right. No, I agree there. But no, I 100% agree with you about Amari Cooper being first. I think that guy's just a difference maker. I think he hasn't, because the Cowboys made a trade a year ago, like 2 days ago. And, you know, I think he has like 11 touchdowns, 1,300 yards. He has a winning record with the Cowboys. So I think Amari Cooper plays a big part in this offense. But, you know, let me ask you about Tavon Austin, who got them a touchdown against Orlando, former Cowboy Orlando Scandrick.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that. And let's talk about TP, Tony Pollard, and Ezekiel Elliott on the field at the same time. Are they finally starting to listen to the fans, or were they saving this kind of midseason and moving this all the way to the end of the season?
So I don't know what they're thinking there with that, but, you know, hopefully we get more of it. You know, where was he during the losing streak? Like, it didn't make any sense, man. I'm just like, where is Tony Pollard? Like, put him in there. Just want to break the TV sometimes, man. And then during that stretch, you know, they're doing these gimmick plays with Tavon Austin, the jet sweep crap that rarely works. But over the last two games, I do have to give it to Tavon Austin. I think he played better. I mean, he had his moments in that Jets game, but then he had a good performance here in this this last game with the Eagles. So it kind of makes you be like, okay, well, he does have value. You know, he does show some value here with the team. So
exactly.
But I still want to see them use Pollard. You used a fourth round pick on him. And you're hardly using him, but when they use him, he pops off. Like his balance is crazy. Like, you think he's caught, and he keeps going, and he's hard to bring down. You're not gonna bring him down with one guy, you know. Even and if you can get him in an open space, he's gonna be hard to tackle. So I want to see more of it. They really need to get him going more.
Exactly. Nope. 100% agree with you. And what kind of makes me mad watching this is we haven't had a special team threat returner since Dwayne Harris.
Yeah.
And we got Randall Cobb back there. And we got a guy that did it in college in TP. And we got a guy that did it his whole career in Tavon Austin. Why would we put Randall Cobb to return a punt when he's never even done that in his career? That's the stuff that makes me mad about this football team. You're going to tell me that you got almost the two fastest guys in TP and Big Tay, mm-hmm. and they're not even on your punt return unit. What the heck?
Exactly.
Consistently.
Mm-hmm.
That's what irritates me is, you know, just how you are with TP and the running back situation. I'm that way with the punt situation, because one of these games, and I'm probably going to call it one of these games this year, we're going to need a big special teams play, and it's going to be Randall Cobb back there, and we won't get it.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I don't get that either. Plus, Randall Cobb has these soft tissues with the hamstrings and these kinds of things. Like, why do you want to put him out there for that? You know, if he's going to be your third wide receiver, your slot guy or whatever. Let me ask you this, Mike. Do you feel that the upgrade has been significant enough between him and Beasley, or did we lose some productivity there, or is it better about this? What's your feeling on that, actually?
I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. I think it's about the same. because Cole Beasley was pretty valuable at third and shorts, almost how Jason Witten is to this team. But if you put two guys on Beasley, you couldn't pick up a yard with him. With Randall Cobb, I think he can cover more space than Cole Beasley can. But Randall Cobb is very inconsistent. Beasley's issue was double coverage. Cobb's issue is consistency. He's a dog. Cobb, number 18, Randall Cobb, he's a dog on that field, Joe. Hmm. Every time he gets the ball, he's physical. He stiffs arm. He tries to juke. With Cole Beasley, when Cole Beasley got the ball, there was really no dog in him. It was more like, okay, I got the first down. Go ahead and tackle me. But Cole Beasley had some of those moments. I'm thinking back maybe to the 2014 Colts game when we blew them out of the water. But other than that, I really can't think of a time Cole Beasley was kind of physical after the run. But I'm going to say it's kind of the same right now, but we still got 8 games to go.
Yeah, I actually feel the same about it. I feel like early on, it seemed like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is money right here. We don't have this with Beasley. But now it's kind of tapered off, and I don't know if that's because of he got a little dinged up. And that's kind of been his deal. You know, Cobb has missed a lot of games over his career and, dinged up and that kind of thing. So it looks like it's still a thing for him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys – maybe throw a pick. I don't know what this draft's going to become, but there will be some good receivers available. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there.
Exactly. And Randall Cobb is on a 1-year deal for those of you who don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're on the same page with Randall Cobb. Some things been floating around Twitter, Joe, of the Eagles being kind of dirty on the field. Fletcher Cox was punching Zach Martin in the face. Mm-hmm. There was one corner that was tackling Zeke going to the end zone, grabbing his junk and pulling it. There was another one with one of the medical staffs on the Eagles pushing Xavier Woods out of the way. How did not the referees not catch some of that stuff? I get it if they missed one, but they missed all three. How do you miss a grown man punching another grown man in front of your face or pushing a staff member pushing a player on the field?
Yeah, man, it's bad. The officials, this could be one of the worst officiating years in recent years. I mean, this is maybe worse than when they had the temporary refs in there. I mean, a lot of blown calls, a lot of you know what I'm really seeing more of that's really stupid, man, is the offensive PIs that these guys are getting. They barely touch the freaking back of the DB, and it's a flat. Like, get the heck out of here. Man, that is not interference. Amari
Cooper's been on the wrong side of those way too many times.
Dude, that makes me so mad because those are not. I mean, they're not, dude. Like, it's so bad, right? And I see it in other games too, not just the Cowboys. I see it like in a lot of these games. It's like you put your hand on him and there's a flag. It's retarded.
On anything, and Jason Witten always pushes off too, and I mean, but he uses his body a lot. I'm going to say maybe 5 out of 10 times Jason Witten will push off, but he does it so well. I think maybe Amari Cooper needs to talk to Jason Witten on how he does that. But Amari Cooper's route running is so elite that, it's so noticeable because he's so smooth with everything that he does. I mean, he breaks ACLs, ankles, toes, running routes out there.
Yeah, he's perfect for this offense. It didn't really work out with him in the Raiders for whatever reason. But in this offense, I mean, he's the guy. He's the man, and you don't see route running like that in this league. There's very few that run the routes like he does. And when you can do that, you're really putting a lot of pressure on the secondary. So
yeah, exactly. But these Cowboys got a bye week, Joe. And hopefully everybody gets healthy. We need to come back healthy and take care of these Giants on Monday Night Football next week.
Absolutely, and that's the main thing is getting healthy. I know that they had some practice time today, and a lot of these guys are getting rested up, but they're still out there. So I think Quinn, I think they got good news on him. Van Der Esch got the stinger, so he'll get rest on that. But the offensive line, I think, needed the most. You know, like, all these guys have bad backs. Martin's playing through a back. Tyron Smith's playing with everything, it seems like, lately.
Exactly. And,
man, that week of rest can do wonders for these guys.
What, do you know any word on Jeff Heath? Hillman, a receiver, collided pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
looks like it knocked both of them out.
Yeah, concussion. Concussion on that guy. So, yeah, I don't think he'll be out there this week. He probably won't get any snaps until the following week. But from what I've heard, he's going to be okay, too. But that was a nasty hit, man, for sure.
Oh, dude, and that was just an accident hit, too. I mean, and Jeff, he's been in multiple of those, you know, with Alan Hearns and now this one. So, but no, I'm just glad that we don't have a bye week, Joe. I'm glad we're in a bye week, I mean. And hopefully we can get another bye week going into playoffs. Hopefully this team can stay consistent.
That's really what it's going to be come down to, you know. A lot of these games are going to be, like, just execution, you know. There's I mean, you can beat the Lions, but if you play sloppy like you do, you'll lose that game, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, same with these Giants, you know. We're thinking, oh, they look bad here against – who did they play last? The last one, they looked really bad. They got their butt whooped.
Cardinals.
Mean, yeah, the Cardinals. Daniel Jones looks like that honeymoon is over. He's turning the ball over left and right. So, Evan Ingram, overrated tight end. I mean, they have a lot of pieces missing. But my point is, if you play sloppy football, you will lose to a crappy team like that. I mean, we already proved it this year, so.
We already proved it, exactly.
So, I mean, that's exactly what it is. You got to execute, man. And the coach has to get them the best out of these players, you know?
That's facts. That is facts. But, all right, guys, that's it with the Frisco Report. Joe, let them know where they could find you at.
Yeah, you guys, check us out. You can find my channel on YouTube, and it's just Cowboys Blog. Look it up there on YouTube. You hit me up. And on Twitter, I'm Cowboys Blog Net. And on Instagram, it's Cowboys Blog. So hit me up on the social media. I'll try to follow you back, and we can have a conversation offline.
Absolutely. You can find me at Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube, Dallas Cowboy Football News on Facebook, DCF News 1 on Twitter, guys. Go ahead, start a conversation. You know, if you want to DM me, hit me up, and we'll talk X's and O's. But hey, this is it with the Frisco Report, guys. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Hey guys, thanks for checking out the podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at the Frisco Report. Again, on Twitter at the Frisco Report. Can't wait to see you guys. Give us a follow. Continue to like, subscribe, and share. And we'll see you guys for the next podcast. The Frisco Report, baby.